I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Maundy Thursday, much like Palm Sunday, is a day of paradox. On Palm Sunday, we recognize first the joy that Jesus' followers were bursting with as the King finally entered into the gate of the holy city, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, riding humbly on an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And then that the cross was in King Jesus' near future, and the confident boasts of allegiance were about to be replaced with cowardly betrayal. Maundy Thursday is a day like this, but with a greater intensity, I think. Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, instituted the mystery of his body and blood. Jesus Christ, before he gives himself once and for all on the cross, gives himself to us in the sacrament once and forever. And as he gives himself in sacrament to his disciples and teaches them to do this in remembrance of him, even before he's gone, the ones hearing his words around that table were nearly ready to flee from him themselves. Judas, of course, is the most famous of the betrayers, for his treachery was delayed only by a lack of opportunity. His faith had failed and his heart had already turned. He was waiting to pounce right there at the table. Judas almost could not wait to get up and leave, it seems, and so indeed he did. St. Peter, though, would deny Jesus three times after swearing that he was ready to die with Christ before ever his mouth would say betraying words. And before Christ's crucifixion, he denied him three times, even at the approach of danger. All the other disciples fled before Jesus, this after 3 years of teaching and miracles and revelation and fellowship. Pontius Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, but in order to keep the favor of men rather than God, he betrayed justice and betrayed Jesus, who stood before him, even as Jesus, Lord of all, was granting him authority to judge. You and I have a typical response to being betrayed. There are a few aspects of response to betrayal that come to mind. Shock is the first thing. And then wrath, fury, anger, a quick second. Simmering, that's probably the third. The imagination of all who rage, dream of retribution. An eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. And here is the awe of this day, encapsulated in a phrase that we hear every time we gather together to celebrate the sacrament that Christ gave to his church for our spiritual nourishment. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. We do not say, and many of you have heard me say this lots, but I like it, so we do not say the Lord Jesus, a few weeks after he had cooled down, took bread. We do not say the Lord Jesus, after having yelled at his disciples and really contemplated canceling this whole thing, took bread on one condition. And we do not say that the Lord Jesus rationalized his generosity as a kind of superiority, despite the distastefulness of helping these awful people, took bread. No, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. That is a paradox. But there is another on this day. The term maundy comes from the Latin mandatum, which has to do with the command or the mandate that Jesus gave to his disciples in another paradoxical circumstance, which we have read about today. Jesus, knowing that Satan had put it into the heart of Judas to betray him and to bring about his ultimate passion, rises from the supper table, lays aside his garments, and no doubt this was the special garment sewn without seam from the top to the bottom, that within a few hours soldiers would cast lots over to see who would take it home as their prize. Jesus then stood as a servant with a towel around his waist. Before lowering himself to death, and even to the death of the cross, he lowered himself as a servant to wash feet, the feet of his disciples and even of Saint Peter. That is a paradox. The Lord of all, the Master, approaches the disciples to wash their feet, these ones who would soon not even admit to knowing him for fear of their own, or fear for their own safety. For these, he stoops to serve. Saint Peter cannot abide the contradiction, and he blurts out something like, "You should not be washing my feet, I should be washing your feet." Jesus, knowing what was about to come, might have easily said, "Wash my feet, that's rich. You want to wash my feet? How about let's start with admitting that you know me?" But he does not say this. He rather explains the paradox, and in so doing, part of the character of God. "If I, as your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." Even knowing what they were about to do, yet he washed their feet. This is the mandate of Maundy Thursday. If I am your Lord and I've washed your feet, then you must wash each other's feet. But when should we serve each other, and under what circumstances, and in what spirit? What if the others have hurt us? What if others are real jerks? What if they mean us harm and are nasty, nasty people? What if they betray us? The institution of Holy Communion grants an answer for those questions and for those who call themselves followers of Christ. As the altar is stripped at the close of this service, reminding us of his betrayal and his imminent passion and his sacrifice on our behalf, we are reminded that it was we who have repeatedly hurt him, and yet who rely on his generosity to us. And he is our Master, and we take his name. We call ourselves Christians, Christ followers. The Lord Jesus, our Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. At the same time that his passion would begin, that a disciple would trade him for 30 pieces of silver, the same hours in which his other disciples would begin to look around at each other, wondering if they were going to be able to find a way to escape if this got to be too dangerous, the same night in which he uncovered the reality that the closest of his disciples were lying to him, the same night he drew them in close. Jesus says to us, even this day, to us who are not unlike the disciples in our fickleness, that the greatest feast of joy and communion with God has been provided for us, Christ really present for us here, filling us with him, even in the same night in which he was betrayed. As our bodies this evening receive him at this altar and on these sacred days, may our hearts not turn from him. And as we turn out towards the world, may we acquiesce to the mandate, not the suggestion, the mandate to wash one another's feet, to serve each other, even in the face of offense, to serve without reservation, as he did, overcoming evil with good, even on the night in which he was betrayed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.